great stuff out of here.
Love is in the air, Northeast Ohio.
Soleil, right down Euclid.
Oh. Throw the hammer down.
Cleveland, this is for you.
And we're back with King James Gossip. This is King James Gossip's podcast on all things Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm here with Kyle and Jared Hesketh, my co-hosts. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Very good.
I'm Nathan Beatley, your host, and well, there's not too much revolving in Cavaliers world. We're going to be talking about the All-Star game, probably a bit about free agency, a lot on the NBA draft, and we're going to wrap it up with the good old fact or fiction and let's see if Jared can continue his hot streak from last week where he saw all the answers.
No, I did not. I did not see anything.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and jump in. So they changed the format. We all know that. LeBron was a captain. And if I'm correct, his order went KD, Anthony Davis, Irving, and then Cousins.
Cousins, yeah. Correct.
I kind of want your guys' take on that. How do you think that, so if LeBron took KD, does that mean Steph took Giannis first?
Yeah, he took Giannis, and then LeBron went AD, and then I'd say Steph went Harden, and then LeBron went Kyrie.
There's DeMar DeRozan's left, I think.
Joel Embiid.
So he went Embiid over Cousins.
Maybe he did.
You heard it here first. Joel Embiid is better than Cousins.
Wow. He actually did. He was going for shooting, but Cousins can shoot really well.
But did you see Embiid? I mean, holy crap. He blocked the mess out of Westbrook that one time when he was driving to the lane.
He did.
It's phenomenal.
So, wait, they had to pick the starters first, right?
Yep.
Yeah, starters were first, and then they picked.
So, after.
I think Steph probably got first pick, and he probably picked Jimmy Butler, who we don't know. He may have been a bit hungover to play. He may have actually just been tired. You never know with All-Star Weekend in L.A.
Right. So, after LeBron took Cousins, then Steph took DeMar, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and then Steph would have started drafting bench players.
Okay, makes sense. All right.
And that's how it went. And I'm not sure the final score of the game. I know Team LeBron won.
148-145.
And if you don't remember, well, if you are listening and you didn't watch, the game ended with, ironically, it ended with Kevin Durant and LeBron James double-teaming Curry as he picked up his dribble in front of his own bench, which hopefully is a sign of things to come in the next like 5 years. But so how'd you guys feel about the overall atmosphere of the game? Did you both watch it through and through?
Yeah, I watched all of it. I thought it was awesome. And if our fans or if our listeners don't remember, I'm almost positive you guys thought I was, I'm almost positive you guys thought I was crazy when I said LeBron's team would win. Is that right?
I think LeBron went a bit harder than everyone else.
Right. But back to my statement.
And no Jimmy Butler is crucial.
Right, but LeBron didn't have John Wall, Kevin Love.
But DeMarcus we knew Cousins. That when we were making the picks. We didn't know Jimmy Butler would have been out. I'm just making my case because I obviously picked against Team LeBron.
Right, you did. But all in all, once I was watching the game in the beginning, I kind of saw LeBron was going pretty hard. And once he got to about 12 or 15 points, I kind of saw he was really going for the MVP. And I have a question. Would he have won MVP if his team would have lost? Or is that, no. not, is that not? So
it would have been Giannis probably. Or actually, looking at the stats, it may have been DeMar. May have been Embiid.
Damian Lillard.
Damian, if I'm correct, he either got very little fourth quarter time because he was the hot hand, and I did not see him in the fourth quarter at all.
I don't really remember seeing him in the fourth quarter, but he was strapping threes.
I know, and that was something else.
Right.
So Kyle, the atmosphere, how'd you feel? Did you feel that the switch made it more competitive?
Absolutely. You could tell a huge difference from the past few years in this recent game. It was, without question, much more competitive.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because the format change? Because obviously most players aren't, like, they're still, like, LeBron would have still been playing with Love, and it's still an all-star game. It's like you're not playing with your normal teammates. So I'm not sure that switching, intermixing the conferences and the players would have made a huge deal on competitiveness. Do you think it's just because, hey, I got to select my own team, I'm going to take responsibility for if we get blown out?
Absolutely. I think that's a majority of why it was more competitive. When you select your team, it's like they were saying, it's just like pickup basketball. When you select your team, you select the best of the best because you want to win. You want to beat that other team.
I think another big reason is because of the raised incentives the NBA announced. I think each player on the winning team got 300,000.
No, 100. No, 100,000 and 70 and 25,000 to the loser.
Right. And did all of that go to charity?
I'm sure it did.
No, I thought that was for the players, and then like there was like an extra whatever went to the winning team's charity.
Well, that probably was a main reason that they played harder, because obviously they want to give to the charity, which is always a good cause. And then like Kyle said, when you pick your team, when you're picked, it just looked more fun. It looked like they were having a lot more fun than in previous All-Star games.
I did hear, Kyle, do you do any type of sports betting?
I do.
I did hear that them taking it seriously screwed a lot of people that I believe it was bet the over on like 365 points scored.
Last year,
390 scored in the game in total.
Because last year it went up, I think it went over 380. So
and
over,
380 was the line, right?
I believe so. And so this year I think the runner again was 380, or maybe it was 390. But yeah, it screwed a lot of people over, but it was more fun to watch for me, so.
Yeah, so even if you lost a couple bucks, you should enjoy the quality that you got.
And I think the spread was LeBron's team was favored by 3. I think that was the spread.
So was there any player, let me ask you this, because I was watching the game for the majority of the time, and give me one player outside of LeBron who 29 points, 12, the obvious MVP. Give me one player that really stuck out to you guys.
I can't say another player did.
Say anybody stuck out to me. I can say a few
you
things.
You don't think
stuck
anybody played
me?
Better than you anticipated them to play?
Not really.
Harden didn't do anything for me. Steph didn't really do anything.
Yeah, I can
for
say
me.
Steph Maybe. Played worse than I thought he was going to.
I honestly, personally, I thought Lillard played a lot better than I thought he'd play.
No, listen, man, he's so good, and he's a big shot maker. So
yeah,
that didn't really surprise me.
But the thing about Lillard is he's not – I don't feel like he's well-respected even in the NBA.
No, he's very underrated.
Because
you're right.
What was it? Was it Steph or one of the players that came out? Or maybe it was Lou Williams. I was like, oh, well, he just got in the All-Star game because he complains every year about being a snub, and then he put up tied for the most points on Team Steph.
Westbrook said that about
oh,
him.
Westbrook
oh, yeah,
that.
because
Paul George
didn't get in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, that's another topic all by itself, but I do not think Paul George should have been a replacement. He is better in terms of All-Star format than Draymond Green. So.
My other thing I was going to ask, oh, it just slipped my mind. Okay, never mind. Keep going. I was thinking about it, but
if I had to pick one player that stood out, it'd probably be Embiid. I mean, 19 points and 8 rebounds and 2 blocks. There was this one play. Yeah, Westbrook had him on an island, and he came up with that big block. Embiid's nasty, dude. He's so good.
He definitely proved to people that he belonged.
And going back to what I was saying real quick about, like I said, not one player surprised me. One thing that did surprise me was AD wearing Boogie's jersey for the first half.
That was nice.
That was cool.
I like that. Yeah. I have a question. What player stuck out to you guys that should have been there? Like, like you were watching and you were like, yeah, he really shouldn't be there. Was there any?
Dragic and Drummond.
Drummond, dude, Drummond kind of. Are you looking at? Do you have the stats up right now? Because Drummond was 7 for 7.
Dude, Drummond, he just dunks. It's the All-Star game. You just dunk.
That's fine. Dragic was 1 for 3 with 2 points.
Yeah, it was
minus Dragic. 12.
It was Dragic. He should not have been there.
Draymond also, he sucked, but he didn't even try, I don't think.
Nah.
Which, okay, again, he's not good in like an All-Star format. He cannot score. Paul George can score.
Put Draymond on a team by himself, like you have Kyle Lowry, not necessarily a team by himself, or like put Draymond on Giannis's team,
dude,
on the Bucks, and he's not an All-Star.
I have said this all the time. If you put Draymond on a team by himself to be the best player, he will not produce.
Right.
He'll play defense and he'll get assists. That's it.
You're not winning with Draymond.
No, you're not.
As the first best player.
But he's probably the best. That's the thing about the Warriors. They have two superstars, and then they have probably the best two role players in the NBA.
Yeah.
Because the Cavs have LeBron James, and they surrounded him now with really good role players in George Hill, and J.R. Smith is, when he's hot, he's amazing, and Nance Hood. But the thing about it is, they're all like above average role players. You're talking about the two best role players in the NBA on Golden State, and that's why
you're
they're so lethal.
About probably the best two guard in the NBA,
and then probably the best, one of the best all around players in the NBA.
Ooh, Kyle, you say the best two guard?
Two way.
Klay Thompson.
Two way.
Two way, not two guard.
No, he is the best two guard.
No,
oh,
you meant two way.
No,
Kyle.
He is the best shooting guard in the NBA.
No, he's not.
That's the hottest take that you heard it here. That is the hottest take King James Gossip has ever had.
Oh, tell me, man. Tell me one that's better.
James Harden.
He's a point guard.
No, he's not. Not this year.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, no, I mean, so you're allowing Houston to play with two point guards.
That's
virtually
literally what it is. It's two point guards. That's why they stagger their minutes. Chris Paul's on the court. James Harden.
Give
on the
me
court.
Victor Oladipo over him.
All right, I don't know about that.
No, Victor Oladipo is really, really good, but Klay Thompson is on a team where he is basically third.
Or even Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler,
yeah,
or Victor.
Butler for sure, Kyle.
I don't know about that. And I love Jimmy Butler.
Well, the one fact is we would have got neither of them for Kyrie Irving, which was great.
What about this? DeMar DeRozan?
And this year, you have to say DeRozan's better.
Yeah. Yeah.
This year, not last year, but this year, that improved 3-point shot.
Oh yeah, I mean, I love DeMar DeRozan, and I was very surprised that he developed a 3-point shot. Let's just see what he does in the playoffs.
All right,
for sure. All right, I think that might be enough. We're gonna get back to the All-Star game later. We got I think 3 or 4 of my factor fiction questions revolve around LeBron and his All-Star game expertise per se. So let's go ahead and dive right into. As many of you know, we have the Brooklyn Nets first round pick. It's looking like a high lottery pick, so top 10, possibly even top 5. So let me hear your guys's rank your top 3 candidates for that. I think this will be pretty interesting to see where you guys. Okay, here, give me 1 second. Say the pick falls at number 4. Who would you take with your 1, 2, and 3? Who are your top 3 guys?
Who do I think will be picked top 3?
No. Okay. So let's just assume for a fact that Doncic is out, Doncic is out,
yeah.
DeAndre Ayton's out, and Michael Porter's out.
Or Baba. That's tough. This draft is deep. I like this draft.
This draft is about 10 deep, which is really good for us.
Yeah.
I think I might as well go. I think personally, I'm going to go. When I was preparing for this, I was really interested to really find out that I think it's all on how Dan Gilbert wants to play and how he wants to put players around LeBron. Because if you see Shabazz Napier, like LeBron wanted him right before he left Miami, he's really mm-hmm. coming out of his shell in Portland now. Like he's playing pretty yeah. good ball as their best guard off the bench. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, I don't think Trae Young's NBA ready yet. He might be in 2 or 3 years. He's got a really good really good shot, really quick release. He's smart. He's got vision, but he's undersized for sure. And he's proven that against better defensive teams, he can't really produce as well.
He's smart for the most part, but he reminds me of a Russell Westbrook. Like he gets his assists, and then like he gets his 10, and that's it. He doesn't usually try to go more than 10 assists. It's more like a stat pattern than it is making the right play. But
yeah, so
he's been struggling
for sure.
Yeah.
So personally, number one for me would either be Bagley or Porter. If Porter's out there, it's Porter. If Bagley's out there, it's Bagley. Number two. Let me finish.
I got you.
Number two is Bamba, because I think he'll be out there. And I'm looking at NBADraft.net, and they have him going number 8, which is after Cleveland's projected pick at number 7. And I think even the Cavs targeting DeAndre kind of shows that they want an NBA ready, or they want a big to protect the rim, something they haven't had since LeBron's been back. And I think a 7-foot freshman, even though he's a freshman, I think a 7-footer that is physically ready to play in the NBA would be a stellar, like a really, really good addition. And then Trae Young 3, he's got the shooting and everything. I'm just not sure. I think that we know LeBron's going to eventually fade, and I think putting a rim protector would really help him preserve his strength for maybe even 2 or 3 more seasons.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's why I'm leaning more towards, and you know, there's like you said, it's about 10 deep. You have Doncic, Ayton, Bamba, Jackson, Bagley, Porter Jr., Trey Young.
Even the Mikal Bridges, Colin Sexton, like yeah. I know that's later in the draft, but they're still really good.
It's deep. It's deep. And so I think it's risky. But if LeBron stays, and I'm assuming he will, this pick is assuming that he will stay. You said rim protector, and me and Jared talked about this the other day. We watched him play. I love Jaren Jackson's game.
Yes.
I love his game.
Thank you.
He's got a pretty good shot. He's long. He's 6'11", got a 7-foot wingspan, so he's basically 7 foot tall.
He
plays
looks taller
center.
Than 6'11".
He does. I like his game a lot. And I think he would fit really well like inside this. We would actually have a center who could potentially be a really good defender. He looks pretty lanky and but athletic enough, more than what we have. And he's 7 foot tall, and he can space the floor. So that gives everybody the space that they want. And I think the Cavs can develop him.
When I was looking at his stats, he reminded me of – I haven't really watched much of him play. He reminded me of Karl Anthony Towns. Because Karl Anthony Towns was not a great shooter. I mean, Jaren Jackson's a better shooter than Towns was, but they were both big, and they both were on good collegiate teams, so they didn't put up 30 a night. Like, if Jaren Jackson was the only player on Michigan State, besides for Miles Bridges, besides for – who else is on there? And besides for their other players, that they're all sophomores, I think. Besides for them, he could put up 30 a night on a bad team. Easy.
Yep.
I mean, I like him a lot just because he's shooting 50% from the field right now. 60% just from 2-point. 43% from 3. Granted, it's a good bit closer than an NBA 3. And obviously, we've seen a lot of players struggle with a 3-point line recently. Lonzo Ball, Markelle Fultz. So on and so forth. I mean, Jason Tatum started off the year shooting amazing from 3, and he's fallen off a lot. I just like his potential, and I like that he's big.
He reminds me. I said this in our group chat. I said he reminds me of a leaner and quicker Joel Embiid because he can space the floor and he's so powerful.
However, in the draft, NBADraft.net that I'm looking at, and I really trust the site, they actually have Jackson going 2nd overall. So if his draft stock rises, especially at the combine, if teams are like, holy crap, this dude's a beast and he can shoot, he may go top 3, and I'm not sure the pick would fall top 3.
This is the latest mock draft that I'm looking at right now. It was posted a day ago. It's on Land of 10. It says Doncic 1 to Phoenix, Ayton 2 to the Hawks, Bamba 3 to the Kings, and Jaren Jackson 4 to the Cavs.
That's the one I was looking at.
I'm not sure Bamba's going to go that high. I would either. I'm surprised Porter and Bagley both fell outside the top four.
Well, I think the Kings. I think the Kings are trying to get younger, and they don't have a center that's young right now. I mean, they still have Willie Cauley-Stein, but I mean, come on, it's Willie Cauley-Stein.
The Kings. I feel like if anybody, the Kings would go after like Bagley. Even I mean, I know that still it opens up Jackson for us, but in the modern day NBA, you kind of want a player like Jackson to be your five, 6'11", 240. You want him down low.
This is interesting. So I'm looking more, and this is off topic, but I'm looking more at the mock draft, and they have Trae Young going 7th to the Grizzlies, which is weird because they still have Conley. I know he's hurt, but.
Well, that's probably, I'm not sure if that's, that could be based on like algorithms. Is there an explanation to it?
No, this is just on the ESPN Twitter page. NBA ESPN Twitter page.
Yeah, I doubt. Memphis is not taking a point guard.
Yeah.
Unless because nobody wants Conley's contract, and they just have to live with paying him $40 million or whatever.
I would take Conley. If he was healthy, I would take Conley.
You don't. We don't have the cap for him. We don't have anywhere close to the cap for him. We couldn't even make cap for him.
Well, actually, when the trade rumors were coming out with Kyrie Irving, I wanted them to get Conley. I knew Memphis wasn't stupid enough to give him up, but I wanted Conley.
Wrong.
So are we listing our top three players who we want?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So if I had to choose, if I had to list the top three, obviously, like Kyle said, my number one would be Jaren Jackson because he can shoot threes and because he looks like he'll be so dominant in the NBA. Number two, just wrote an article about this, Michael Porter Jr. Even though he's had these back problems, I think he's going to play this season, or at least there's a chance. And he reminds me, I'm not comparing them, but I'm just saying what his game resembles, and it's kind of like Kevin Durant. And the third player, I'm going to go Trae Young just because LeBron, he's in love with him. And he's kind of been mentoring him throughout his college career. So Jackson, Porter, and Trae Young.
Fair enough. It's not bad. I'd take any three of them. Right. All three of them, any of them, all of them. I don't know.
As long as Trae Young isn't shooting the type of shots he's shooting right now with the Cavs.
Well, sure. The thing is,
which he wouldn't. He would have almost the absolute reverse workload.
Exactly. He has the highest usage rate in the NCAA, so there's a chance that he's just really fatigued.
He also takes some of the worst shots I've ever seen.
Outside of him, who's really good on Oklahoma? Like I don't watch.
Okay. Them. I think one of our writers, his name is Simon. I'm pretty sure he was arguing that the other day in our chat. They have decent role players. They're not stellar, and they're not like, oh my God, what is he doing? He's just cramming on someone. No, that's not their, but they have decent role players. Yeah. It's not like, I don't know. I think their team's underrated. And
granted, he's
Young's
also
a bit overrated.
He's taking 10 more shots a game than anybody else on his team.
Well, when you look at their offense, I don't think it's really favorable for Trae Young, because if people really compare him to Steph Curry, when you watch Steph Curry play, he's running around picks to get open. They're not setting any picks for him to get open. He has the ball in his hands, and he's trying to create his own shot.
He also so, – that's a big game. Part of his problem, though. I think he tries to create his own shot.
Maybe.
You are the point guard. You can call for screens. You can run your offense. I know.
Their whole
like,
team – basically just seems like they're playing at a park.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Like, let's just let Trae Young go at the top of the key and dance for a while.
It doesn't look like they have any set plays or anything to get any of their players open, not even Young.
And you never know that their coach could be calling plays and he just may not call them. I don't think that's the case, but because in college, coaching is the main reason why you win games, which is why I hate watching college, because it's all too stiff.
Let me ask you this one little thing off topic, but I was listening to one of Barstool's podcasts, or maybe it was Bill Simmons. It was one. I actually think it was the Simmons podcast. And he was saying that they should change it to where either you can come straight out of high school or you have to wait at least 2 years to leave. What do you think about that?
I think you should be able to come out of high school. I think you should be able to come out of high school. If you think you're good enough, like, Bagley, for sure, he could be one to come out of high school. I could argue Zion Williamson. I mean, there's not many, but
When... I think as long as you can do kind of what the MLB does, to where you can declare for the draft, and if you get drafted, you do not have to report to that team. As long as the NBA does that. So, or for instance, if you declare that for the draft, don't get picked, you still have your amateur status and can still go back to school or go to school if you want to.
Right. I just think that, like, Sover and them, they're concerned about players just leaving the NBA, leaving high school, going to the draft, not being good, and then being like 24, not really having any ways to provide for themselves or better their future for the next 50 years.
And I agree with that. I think that's one of the main reasons that most of them do go to college. For instance, people said Lonzo Ball would be great out of high school. Well, right now he's not doing so good. So, I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a big hater. I hate his dad, but he's not.
I think that's kind of how everybody feels, because I like Lonzo. Like, keep dropping mixtapes. I like him. But please don't. Like, the stuff LeVar says is just like, your sons will not, all three of your sons will not be playing for the Lakers. Get out of here.
If I was Lonzo, I would honestly say something to LeVar. Like,
listen, this is my career.
Right. Like, you have to say something. You cannot let him say. And I don't know if Lonzo just doesn't care or he's scared. I don't know, but he has to say something. He'll be eligible to register for the draft after this year, this season. Would you guys consider the Cavs taking him?
No, I would leave this site. I would never be a fan again, and I would quit.
Oh, man. That'd be funny.
He's an okay shooter. And
he's solid.
He has a post game, which doesn't make sense because you're 6'6". So,
well, DeMar DeRozan has a post game.
Yeah, but his post game is like turnaround fadeaways. It reminds me of Kobe and MJ and LeBron and how they post up. D'Angelo? LiAngelo's post game is more like back, like he's up against the basket.
Yeah.
And like with like a hook, like a little jump hook. That's for 6'6", you don't need that.
He could be a nice second rounder. I don't know.
He's not going to get drafted. He's not good.
Oh, you don't think he'll get drafted?
I don't think he's in like anybody's boards. I don't think he's even like a top 50 prospect.
I think he'll stay in Europe for a while. He'll kind of do what Jimmer Fredette does. He might get a chance. I just don't think it's going to be a big chance.
He should hope to do what Jimmer Fredette does. Because if he's Jimmer, imagine if one of the Ball brothers went to China and lit him up for like 35 or 40 a game. LeVar would be losing his mind.
Jimmer actually got a shot is what I was saying. And Jimmer's amazing. Yeah,
he'll get a shot. Both of the brothers will get a shot, I think.
I don't think LaMelo will.
I don't think LiAngelo will. He's not good.
At the very least, he'll get a G League contract.
All right. So the Balls may never get a chance, and we may never know, but we're just going to go ahead and move on from that. So here's our kind of our game segment. It's our fact or fiction. And most of it's going to center around the All-Star weekend just because that's what just happened, and it's kind of fresh in everyone's mind. All right. So the first question we got is, LeBron James has the most All-Star points by over 50 points. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
Fact.
Ew, I'm making these too easy.
That's well, no, easy he word. Did. He broke. He like became the leader last year.
Last year, I think.
Yeah.
Come on. Now.
I didn't know it was by so much. I should have made it like 100.
Well, hold right. on. What is it actually by? Is it by 50?
It's by like 60, I think.
Oh, okay.
This one's pretty interesting. LeBron James has the most 3-point field goal attempts and makes by over 10. Fact or fiction, boys?
Oh, man. Fiction. Well, fact. I don't know. Yeah, fact.
I'm going to say fact, too. He shoots a lot.
See, I said by over 10. It's it by, like, is. 8.
Oh, my God.
Or, like, I think it might be, like, right on 10, but it's not over 10. I just wanted to win one. All right, LeBron James is top 10 in rebounding in the All-Star game.
Fact. No, fiction. Fiction.
You jump really quickly. You'll yell one and then go to the other.
This is tough. I'm trying to think because he's played more than any other, or he started more than any other player, right? I think that's the record he holds.
He's tied.
But then again, okay, so he's tied. But then again, he's a small forward, and then you have people like, I don't know, like Tim Duncan.
But, I mean, we're saying top 10. There's not too many people that have been in.
Are you trying to trick me?
Listen, Nathan tried to talk us in.
No, I'm just giving logic. I don't really
care. Nathan talked us into saying fact for last week, and we both got it wrong.
I'm going.
We both got it right, and then he said, we were wrong. But he was kidding. I'm going to say fact.
It's fiction. He's not.
God, that's what I said.
I wasn't even getting at you guys there. I was actually going to. I don't know. LeBron's a good rebounder. It makes sense to say that.
All right. I'm 1-2 today.
All right. So according to teamrankings.com, you hear that bringing sources into this, the Cavs have a lower chance to win the NBA championship than four other Eastern Conference teams.
That is fiction.
That's fiction.
No way.
You guys ready for this?
That website's wildin', dude, if this is a fact.
You guys, I give you a good one, but it is actually fiction.
Okay.
But do you know why it's fiction?
I do not.
Because it's not four. It's actually five.
Get out of here, dude.
I had it pulled up. It was
Boston, Toronto, Washington, Milwaukee.
No. Maybe. It was Philadelphia was actually on there too.
Wow.
You are crazy.
Maybe this was pre-trade deadline, but
maybe.
Because they had Philadelphia as a 1.1% favorite or 1.1% chance for the NBA championship, and they had Cleveland at a 0.7.
Wow.
Oh my God, get out of here. Even if that was pre-trade deadline, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was something else. Okay, so this one's kind of out there too. If the Cavs, this isn't too bad. If the Cavs get the number one pick, it will be their seventh in team history. So somehow the Brooklyn tanks and the lottery balls are in our favor. Seventh.
Seventh. All I can remember.
We've had four, LeBron, right? We've had four in our
I'm
lifetime.
Thinking LeBron, Kyrie, Wiggins, and Bennett.
Bennett. But was there three others? Three?
I don't know.
I know, reading from the book, I know there was at least one more.
From the blueprint?
Yes.
Who was it?
I can't remember. I'll say fact. Yeah, whatever.
I'll say fiction. That seems like a lot.
And Kyle evens up the weekly totals.
Wow. Do you know who the players are?
It was Brad Daughtry.
Yes, that was one of them that I knew of.
There was another one, and then there was another one. They were old players, like 60s.
Austin Carr, maybe. Was he number one? I think Austin Carr was number one.
One second, because I think the audience would like to know this.
I'm willing to bet he was.
Where are you? Austin Carr. Yes.
Yep, I knew it.
Shoot, I can't find it right now. I'll look it up later.
So far, what I'm seeing is Wiggins, Bennett, Irving, James, Daughtry, Carr.
Ooh, yes. But the fact is, I said it will be their seventh.
So that was six.
Which means that they're sixth, and then this pick would be their seventh.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's kind of confusing just because the way it's worded. Now I'm thinking about it, it's kind of confusing. But
so did I get it right or no?
No, you got
it wrong. Because he said this one will be our seventh. The way you worded it was weird, but yeah.
All right, so that's all for the fact or fictions. Hope you enjoyed those. Now we're moving on to our 21 Shum Street picks of the week.
We
which
can't
if you
say
didn't
that
know,
anymore.
Shump, oh, Shump. Yeah, shoot. Shump has left. So,
audience,
if you're listening,
pick the name.
Yes, audience, if you have any good ideas. If not, we'll just make Jared come up with another one.
Wow, I forgot about that. Shump's gone.
So right now in these standings, I am 12-12, Jared's 12-12, and Kyle is 11-13 picking the games. This week, we already previewed our game in home at Washington. We all said a win there. Then we have a back-to-back away in Memphis. That's a back-to-back, so it'll be a tough game, but Memphis sucks this year. So yeah. What are you going with? Either of you?
I'm going to say W against Memphis.
Kyle?
Yeah, W against Memphis.
Yep, I'm going to W too. That's kind of easy to call. And then they have a day rest, so Friday's away at Memphis, Saturday's off, and then they play the Spurs at home.
Ooh.
And I think they win that game too. I'm going 3 straight wins right now. Actually, no, screw it. I'm going 4 wins. We win out this week. Because then they have a Nets home game 2 days after that. So
Nets?
Spurs at home, day at rest, Nets at home.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I'll say 4 dubs. If anything, we might lose to the Spurs, but I don't think we will.
It wouldn't surprise
me. And at home.
Right, I'll never bet against Greg Popovich.
Absolutely not.
So, whatever it is next week, me and Jared will still be tied. Kyle will still be one down. And we'll hopefully still have all these great listeners out there. Facts.
Right.
You guys have anything to send them off with?
Oh,
James is the greatest basketball player of all time.
If you guys listen to our podcast on iTunes, be sure to subscribe to our podcast, give us a 5-star review, and just give us a nice review. If you have anything you want to say to critique us on, you can leave that there as well. If you want to get a hold of our Twitter page, Nathan has a Twitter page or Facebook page you guys can comment on for any comments, questions. Yeah, anything like that. So,
and if you have any critiques, you should just hit us up there, not iTunes review us badly. You know, got to keep the good rating up.
Five stars.
So we would very much appreciate that, and I think that's all we got for next week. Till then.